Well, it's a relatively warm evening, so we're going to get cracking. So come with me to the reading which we had, Luke chapter 13. And we read this. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Will those who are saved? So it's a question about salvation, about being saved. The Titanic sank. How many were saved? You may have seen that YouTube video of the Hindenburg, this great airship, exploding into a ball of fire. How many were saved? 9/11, the Twin Towers. How many were saved? Saved, it's the language, isn't it, of dramatic events where lives hang in the balance. Someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? So what is this dramatic event this man's referring to? Well, it's the ultimate event. It's the end of history. It's the coming of the kingdom of God in all its fullness, the momentous day when the king himself will return to judge the world. It's the day upon which all our destinies hang. Heaven, hell, saved, lost. On that day, will the saved be many or few? So what does Jesus say? Verse 23, and he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. So says Jesus, never mind how many will be saved. The real question is, will you be saved? Because not everyone who likes the idea of being saved will be saved. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. So please, if you have a Bible, you might like to have the passage in front of you. We're going to go through it, and we'll go through it by asking seven, I hope, simple questions. So question number one. What determines whether a person is saved or not? Well, look at Jesus' answer. Verse 24. Strive to enter through the narrow door. So to enter through the narrow door is to be saved. To not enter is to be lost. It's a binary choice. It's very simple. It couldn't be clearer. So question number two. What then is the narrow door? If my eternal destiny hangs on entering through that door, well, please tell me what it is. Verse 22, he went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. As Jesus journeys towards Jerusalem, he's teaching, he's preaching, he's declaring the word of God. As Jesus journeys towards Jerusalem, he goes about doing good. He heals the sick, he casts out demons, he even raises the dead. And it's evident to all that the king himself is here, that the kingdom of God has come. The king, Jesus Christ, is taking over. Here are lives in the grip of powerful, destructive forces. And at Jesus' word, those forces are broken and people are set free. And for those with ears to hear and eyes to see, it's clear that Jesus is the king. He's the Christ, the one who God has sent to put this world right, the one who God has sent to mend broken lives and to rebuild this bridge between God and us. And therefore, Jesus doesn't merely hold open the door of salvation, but he himself is that door. So John chapter 10, verse 9, we read Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Strive to enter through the narrow door. And that door is Jesus. And there's no other door. And in that sense, that door is narrow. There's no other way. It's Jesus and only Jesus. If you are to be saved, then you must come to Jesus Christ. He is the narrow door. Narrow, and yet everyone is invited. No one is excluded. All are invited to come to Jesus Christ. And says Jesus, come they will, verse 29. And people will come from the east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. Everyone is welcome. No one's excluded. Here's this picture of a great banquet. A coming of the kingdom, the fullness of the kingdom. God's great salvation. God invites the nations, he invites everyone to come to his banquet. And therefore the invitation is to you. Only you must come to Jesus Christ if you are to be saved. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Strive to enter through the narrow door. So question number three. What's to be gained entering through the narrow door? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. So on this side of the door, the wrong side of the door, is hunger. But to come to Jesus, to enter through the narrow door, you'll be fed. You will hunger no more. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So on this side of the door is thirst. And we understand that, don't we? But to come to Jesus Christ, to enter through the narrow door, says Jesus, you will be satisfied. In fact, the language is that you will have to drink rivers of living water, liquid life. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you found rest? Because if we're honest, on this side of the door, there is no rest. Our lives are in the grip of those powerful, destructive forces over which we have no control. Things go wrong in our lives. They go clearly wrong in our lives. And we soon discover that life without Jesus Christ is crushing. Sorrow, sin, Satan, disease, death, damnation. And yet to come to Jesus Christ, to enter through that narrow door, is to find rest. Rest for your soul. Oh, maybe that's something you've not felt for a long, long, long time. Luke tells us a little bit earlier in the gospel about the healing of a leper. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. It's a miracle, isn't it? Instant healing. But it's also a sign pointing to a deeper reality. Because on this side of the door, we are unclean. And we know that. Shame, guilt, they're universal feelings, aren't they? The things that you've done, things that I've done, I don't want anyone to know about it. There are things that we hide. We all have that sense, if you got to know the real me, you wouldn't want to know me. We're unclean, but come to Jesus, enter through the narrow door, and he will make you clean. Jesus heals a paralytic. We're told, when he saw their faith, he said to the man, the paralytic, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Who indeed? Did they realize what they were saying? But my sins hang around my neck. They weigh me down. One day they'll drag me down to hell. But come to Jesus, enter through the narrow door, and you'll find the calm of sins forgiven. You'll find the death sentence lifted. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So again, on this side of the door, what do we find? Darkness. But to come to Jesus Christ, to enter through the narrow door, to be on the right side of the door, you step into the daylight. You'll have the light of life. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So on this side of the door, there's death. There's a death sentence. Because I've wronged God. And real offenses demand a real punishment. The wages of sin is death. But through that door is life. And perhaps the most well-known verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. On this side of the door, we perish. But to believe in Jesus Christ, to enter through the door, the narrow door, is to find life. Life so abundant, so real, so satisfying. The Bible calls it eternal life. It's life that not even death itself can kill. It's the very life of God, the life of the age to come. And it begins when I come as a sinner to Jesus. So when we ask the question, what's to be gained by entering through the narrow door, by coming to Jesus Christ? Hunger, bread, thirst, water, crushed, rest, filthy, clean, I'm condemned, forgiven, darkness, light, death, life, perish, everlasting life, hell, heaven. So question number four. But why do we need to strive? Verse 24. Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. You might think, well, okay, I get it. Fair dues, I see what you're saying. Okay, there's, you know, I want to be saved, and this side and that side, I get that. Big contrast, and I can see the gains by coming to Jesus. But why do I have to strive to enter through this narrow door? And this is a translation of the Greek, and in the original Greek, the word that's translated here as strive is a very strong word. The sense is agonize. You've all seen it. It's the athlete. It's the athlete who's going for the finishing line. And you can see it in their faces, can't you? They're totally focused. They're oblivious to everything else. They're just focused on the line. In fact, they're agonizing for the line. Jesus says everything else can wait. And he has a vantage point that we don't. He sees the reality of these things. He's talking from a position of total understanding. And he says to you, everything else can wait. This cannot wait. Let nothing stand in your way. You go straight for the door. Why? Because the door will not always be open. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter it. Sorry, seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and the door shut, and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and to knock at the door. One day that door will be shut. You don't know when it will be. You cannot count on time that you may not have. So says Jesus, head straight for the door. Strive, agonize to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, many will seek to enter and will not be able. At the end of the Second World War, Europe was partitioned into two. There were the free and democratic countries of the West, and there were the oppressed countries of Eastern Europe. They were under the control and domination of the Soviet Union. And running between the two, the West and the East, was what Churchill called the Iron Curtain. But in the Iron Curtain, there was a gap. There was a narrow door. It was Berlin. And through that narrow door, the peoples of Eastern Europe sought to enter. They sought to escape the oppression and tyranny of the East for a new life of freedom in the West. To escape the relative poverty of the East for a new life of plenty in the West. But the stream of people from the East to the West became so acute, so great, that in 1961, the Soviets built the Berlin Wall. And those who sought to enter through that door, that was Berlin, and enter into the West, were no longer able to do so. The narrow door had been shut. That's the point made. Do you think on the last day that door was open, that the peoples of the East, whose hearts were set upon getting across the border and into Western Berlin, do you think on that day they loitered? They took it easy. They acted as though they had all the time in the world. No, they were completely focused. Nothing else mattered. They agonized to get through that narrow door. Strive, says Jesus. Remember, he sees it completely. There's nothing hidden from him. He's the one who's telling us, not the preacher. Jesus is telling you. Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. A little while ago, we read from John 3:16. But it goes on from John 3:16. Let's read John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But it goes on. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. You see, we're on the wrong side of the door. We're a world under judgment. We've rebelled against the God who made us. We've broken those two great laws that he gave us. Laws of love. He said, fill my world with love. Love me with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourselves. And we've never done that. We're lawbreakers. And broken laws demand a penalty. The wages of sin is death. We're condemned already. So if when that door closes, you find yourself on the wrong side, you know already what the verdict will be. The verdict's already been passed for those who stay on this side. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. If you stay on this side, you are already condemned. John Bunyan, in his allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, he captures the picture perfectly. You may know the story. Here's a man. He lives in a city which is called the City of Destruction. On his back is a great burden. It's the weight of his sin, the weight of his guilt. And our man's in great distress. Because as he reads the book in his hand, as he reads the Bible, he learns that the city in which he lives is to be burned with fire from heaven. It's the city of destruction. And so he meets a man called Evangelist. And he says to Evangelist, sir, I understand from this book that I'm condemned to die. And after that, to come to judgment. I'm afraid this burden on my back will sink me lower than the grave, that I shall fall into hell. And I'm not prepared to die, and I'm not ready for judgment, and to go from there to execution. So says Evangelist, why are you standing here? Because I don't know where to go. And Evangelist hands him a scroll, and on that scroll are written these words, flee from the wrath to come. Don't stay on this side of the door, in other words. But where must I go? And then evangelist points into the distance and he says, can you see it's a wicked gate in Bunyan's allegory? But it's the narrow door. Can you see it? Head for that. And what does our man do? He runs for his life. And he shouts, life, life, eternal life. And after a few mishaps and difficulties, when he gets nearer to the door, he puts his fingers in his ears so that no one can stop him. No one can call him back. All he can see is the door, and he strives for it. Oh, people try to stop him. People say, oh, don't be a fool, man. The city won't be destroyed. We've lived here for generations. Nothing's happened yet. And of course, they don't feel the burden that he feels of his sin and of his guilt. And there are people saying it's far too costly, far too dangerous, far too humbling. We'll show you an easier way. But he waits for no one. He strives to enter through the narrow door and safety. I remember some years ago, a woman here was saved. And the first thing she said was, I'm safe. I'm safe. That's what the word saved really means, isn't it? I'm saved. Are you ready to die? Well, if you're not ready to die, you're not ready for what lies beyond, are you? For the judgment. And therefore you're not on safe ground. And therefore Jesus' words should ring in your ears. Strive, agonize to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Says Jesus, don't delay. The door is open. It's open, it's open, it's open. So run! Run to Jesus Christ and stop for no one and for nothing. And therefore, question number 5. What happens when the door shuts? Verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Did you hear that? Jesus moves us forward to judgment day, when he will close the door. And what do we find when the door is closed? We find people asking, seeking, knocking. We see people filled with urgency. But, says Jesus, it will be too late. Those who had little time for Jesus suddenly find time. Those who are completely unconvinced about the need to be saved are now thoroughly convinced. What was once unimportant now becomes all important. But says Jesus, it'll be too late. The door is shut. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Those are solemn things, aren't they? And again, they're spoken by the one who sees. He sees everything. His knowledge is complete and total. He is the one who is the door. He is the one who shuts the door. That's why he speaks these things to us with such solemnity and with such urgency. He's the one who holds your breath in his hands. He knows how many days he's given to you to live. That's why he says it. My friend, will you believe too late? Will you strive to enter through that narrow door when the door is shut? I know what agonizing there'll be on that day. Awful cry, isn't it? Lord, open to us. But it'll be too late. And gentle Jesus, meek and mild, with awesome solemnity, will close that door, shutting you out. Lord, open to us. Then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Where were you when the door was open? Where were you when I called you? Where were you when I warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Where were you when I stood in the preaching with my arms open wide and I said to you again and again, come to me? And what will you say? Well, Jesus tells us exactly what you will say. Verse 26, then you'll begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. Maybe you'll say, but I grew up in a Christian home. I went to morning school. I went to Sunday school. I came to church. I was at church every Sunday. I came to the prayer meeting. I was on the camps. I went on the church holiday. My best friends got saved. My brothers and sisters were saved. I listened to the preaching. I took it seriously. I asked important questions about it. Sometimes that word gripped me. I almost became a Christian. Lord, it's me. Don't you recognize me? It's me. Don't you know me? But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. When I opened my arms and I invited you to come to me, did you not see the nail-pierced hands? That I went to that cross where the sins of the many were hung around my neck and I was plunged into the hell that those sins deserve. So all who come to me, all who enter through the narrow door, might not perish, but have eternal life. I paid the price. I did everything necessary. I took away all the obstacles. And I paid that price in my blood so that you, hungry, could be fed. So you who are thirsty might come and drink and be satisfied. And I invited you to come and you stayed on that side in your thirst. And oh, how weary you were and how crushing you found life to be. But I invited you to come to me and find rest. And knowing you were filthy, I said, come and I'll make you clean. And I die that punishing death that sinners deserve to die, so that you, the condemned, could be forgiven. Not condemned. Could walk free from the court. Not guilty. Not condemned. I did all that so you could turn from living in the darkness to walking in the sunshine of my light. So you could leave the world of the dying and death for life, eternal life. And he'll say, did you not read my great heart of love, the love that beats for you, the love that's not willing that any of you should perish? Didn't you hear me in the preaching, pleading with you again and again and again? But you would not come. You wouldn't humble yourself. You said later. You said nothing. I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. Does that seem harsh? Workers of evil. Jesus calling me a worker of evil. Hear what Jesus says to the good religious people of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. The good religious people who listened to Jesus preaching, the good religious people who saw lives transformed by Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says to them. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You'll be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it would be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. You know what Jesus is saying? Who are the greatest sinners? Are the greatest sinners men who trade in other men's souls? the slave traders of Tyre and Sidon, are they the greatest sinners? Or maybe it's those who are guilty of gang rape, the men of Sodom. Says Jesus, the greatest sinners are men and women who regularly hear the word of God and do nothing. They're the greatest sinners. They hear the voice of the Son of God and choose to do nothing. They choose not to change. They choose not to come to Jesus. They choose not to bow the knee. They are the greatest sinners, says Jesus. I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all workers of evil. My friend, is that you? It's a reality check, isn't it? To hear the voice of Jesus, to see lives changed by Jesus, and seeing it and knowing it, then choosing to do nothing. Will Christ sweep you out of his universe? Depart from me, all workers of evil. So as we're nearing the end, question number 6, what happens next? What happens to those who are thrust out, who now find themselves on the wrong side of the door? Well, look at verse 28. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from the north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I can't really imagine that. It's saying, isn't it, there's inconsolable sorrow and impotent rage. When you see heaven filled with maybe with those you expected to see there, the Abrahams and the Isaacs and the Jacobs, maybe those you wanted to be with. But also when you see heaven filled with those you didn't expect to see there. Those who had none of the advantages that you have. Those who didn't have the advantage of a Christian home or of godly friends or faithful preaching. And you look at them and say, what are they doing there? How come they're there? I'm a better person than they are. Maybe for years you stood nearer the door than they, and they had miles to travel and you had a few paces to take. And because it was so near, you thought the door would always be open, and I've always got the opportunity to take it, but I've got some other things to do first, and after I've done that, then I'll go through the door. Just a few steps to take. Just a few paces. Oh, you were so close. You even stood in the shadow of the door. But while you lingered and loitered and played around and asked more questions, when actually you knew everything you needed to know, they strived. They took it all desperately, seriously. They said, I'm a sinner, unclean, I'm on the wrong side of the door. But I understand this. Jesus died on that cross to save unclean, condemned sinners. And they went to him, they said, Lord, I'm that, save me. You see, they agonized. And the blessing which you despise, they now enjoy. And the message which saved them utterly bored you. I thought, there he goes again. I'm always hearing this. And now the door that shuts them safely into heaven has closed you into hell. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. And so to our final question. Well, why are you hearing these things now? You're hearing these things now because it's not too late. We pressed the fast forward button, didn't we? To Judgment Day. And Jesus said, if nothing changes, you will find yourself shut out. If nothing changes, well, you've been warned. If nothing changes, then you have no excuse You know what will happen. And that's why today I sent a preacher. I sent a preacher to tell you about these things. I sent a preacher to tell you about these things today. Today. Don't count on tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. The Bible always says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Don't count on time you may not have. He said, I sent a preacher to you today to tell you these things today. So today you strive to enter through the narrow door. Because every moment you linger is a moment nearer the unquenchable fire and the outer darkness. But more than that, every moment you linger is away from the loving embrace from the great lover of our souls. And so Jesus says, you're treading on forbidden ground. Don't linger. Don't loiter. Don't put it off. Don't wait for a better time. Don't say, but I've got a few more questions that need answering. He says, run. You strive. You agonize. You've seen those athletes' faces. You've seen the fierceness in their eyes. They will let nothing stop them. That is to be you. You stop for no one. You delay for no reason. He says, you fix your eyes upon me. And you come to me. And he says, you come to me tonight. Because only today, I can only guarantee you salvation today. Don't count on tomorrow. Tomorrow may be the day that I return. Today, tomorrow may be the day that I say, as I hold your life in my hands, well, that's it. So Jesus, come to me. Come to me tonight. 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 Everything else can wait. This cannot. Strive. Agonize. Says, Jesus, run into my open arms. You can't miss them. Run to me. Come to me. Hear the voice of Jesus. Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, we thank you for the directness which the Lord Jesus speaks to us. Lord, we don't like directness. We like to be wooed and won and cajoled. But Lord, sometimes when things are so urgent, sometimes, Lord, when it is life and death, Lord, there can be no gentle wooing words. And we pray therefore, Lord God, that you would give us the grace to receive what our Lord Jesus Christ has said to us tonight. And you would give us the help, the grace to run into his open arms, to head straight for that door, and even this night to be able to say, safe, saved. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.